Okay, the reason why I'm in the United States this time is God's special arrangement. Let me use here, I'm not comfortable with this. Back in 1994-95, I've studied in the master's seminary, and Dr. Richard Mayhew and Dr. Roscoe, they were all my professors, had not been invited. And I was one of the elected to attend this wonderful banquet. And they selected me, a person who lived very far away, to attend that banquet. So I took it very serious, and we pray about it with my wife. Then I decided to go. Then there I attended the banquet, and I saw many of my old professors and some of my former students, my friends. And I talked with Dr. Richard Mayhew, and we had a good conversation, and we had a very big hug. We don't know when we are going to see back, and I don't know where he is going to serve. And then I met with Dr. Roscoe, who taught me biblical prayers. And assignment is 1 hour a day to spend for prayer, and then we have to submit what we prayed and then what we had received. Every weekend assignment. So that molded me, my spiritual life, a lot. And I dare not say that I had continually not stopping prayer, but when I awake or when I in my work, okay, day and night, I had communion with God by learning, by taking that subject. And that changed my life a lot. So I told him, and even I wrote to him so many times about that. And he also came there. And he was very weak in health. And he said, and I said to him too, that we may not be able to see each other on this earth, but we have a wonderful place up in heaven. And I said to him, because of your teaching, the Lord had done so many great things in my life as I practice the biblical prayer, that to wrestle with God whenever we are weak. And I told him he was very, very proud, and his eyes is filled with tears. And I believe that sooner or later, we don't know, he will be called by God. Then they asked me to stay for a shepherd's conference. And before that, I talked with Pastor Terry. We have been working together for over 15 years. And he is the kind of person that I like. I also very simple person. I like very simple life and kidding and whatever, okay? He never takes anything seriously. This is the person that I like, okay? He said, what I learned from him is, no problem, okay? No problem. And this time I learned that, okay, for Shepherd's Conference, nobody paid for my admission fees, which is $400. And when we checked the international list, they didn't find my name. So I was amazed. And I talked with the person, those who are taking care of these international visitors, and they told me that there's no admission fees for you. Oh my, I praise the Lord. Lord, this is not heaven, this is earth. If it is heaven, I was finished. Then I told Terry, brother, what can I do? He said, come. No problem. He said, no problem. Okay, good. So we make a line. There are a lot of pastors or deacons or elders who didn't pay the for admission fees. So we make a line. And then he was standing next to me all the time. Then we went to the office. And so, brother, what can we do now? Don't worry. This is what I heard from him again. And then he took out a card. This is for him. Okay. Then they wrote my name. Tang Pao, Elizabeth, Colorado. On the tag. Okay. When people say, oh, are you from Colorado? And I say, yes. Because the tag shows that, okay? Okay, this is one thing that he did wonderful things for me. And very amazing for me. I don't have any place to stay in California. Then I told him, brother, where can I stay? He said, no problem, okay? How can I go to Shepherd's Conference? No problem. I have a car, he said. Then we met each other. Then he gave the address. Hilton Hotel, Glendale, California. How? Hilton? I check again and again. He might have written wrong. Hilton Hotel, Glendale, California. You know, I have a big doubt. How can a pastor stay on the Hilton? And how can he afford me to stay over there? Then a friend of mine, he drove me to Hilton Hotel. Then he came down. Okay. Brother, are we going to stay here? Yes, you are in fifth grade. I am sixth. Then I went in. Oh, my brother, the bed. And bed sheet spread. And then inside, beautifully decorated. And this is for your room. And he went up to the sixth floor. And then I was thinking, if I'm not working for the Lord, okay, this person, a sinner saved by grace, to be stay here in this grand hotel, I ask myself. Then I think about the greatness of God, and I think about we the servants of the Lord helping each other, and His love and His kindness, my dear friend, and his arrangement. So I stay there four nights, and I took picture, then I sent to my wife, I'm staying here. But I said, I'm not staying forever here. I will be back. And she was very happy. And you have been helping me all through these 15 years without failing even 1 month. And now we are here, a handful of believers. But you have been faithful to the Lord in giving and coming to the church and listening to the Word of God. You are not helping myself. You have been helping over 15 or 16 servants of the Lord all over the world. It's amazing. It's amazing for me. Life here is difficult. Life here is not easy. I know that, okay? Life here is much, much difficult than what in Burma is. We don't know now. We're going to move forward to democratic countries. Texas will coming. I know that. Before we don't have Texas, okay? Now Texas will coming. Anyhow, we just forget all these things. I really appreciate and happy for what you have been doing. And as I think about your faithfulness, a thought came into my mind, Philippians chapter 4, verse 15. Let me read from verse 14. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians, yourselves, you know that, in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you alone. This is what I need. Except you alone. Okay? So you have been doing the Lord's work by helping to the servants of the Lord in different parts of the world. Thank you so much. And when I came here, as Brother Greg had backing me up about our country and about my ministry, because of your help, we have been doing so well this time of the year. And my wife is now taking care of the summer school now, and she told me that we have 170 students this time. And they did not accept the old students because there's no place for them to sit. And as Brother Greg had said just now, they visited us, and when I stay at his home, it was also very, very grand and a very high class. And I saw that they were humble in the sight of God to come under our roof and have breakfast and meal with us. And I really appreciate for their humbleness and love the Lord. So, if God willing, I'll be flying to Tulsa, Oklahoma to see my brothers and his wife, and then to Raleigh to see my brothers and his family. And over there, I'm waiting for my children, those who are coming from Pensacola Christian College after May 11th, and I'll be staying with them about for 2 weeks. Then I will be flying back to Burma on the 7th June. Then I will continue the work. So thank you so much for your prayer and for your help, which has been showing your faithfulness unto the Lord. And I really thank you that I have seen my old friends here faithfully serving the Lord and faithfully praying for us. May God bless you all. This is my first introduction, okay? Now, the best part. 4 pages. I don't know, in American standard, American Christians don't want to hear long sermon. I heard that. But you can go home, okay? My friend Terry is going to stay here until and unless I finish. I'm going to preach. I'm going to preach through, okay? Okay, this morning, religious but lost. There are so-called Christians all over the world, very religious. They are faithful in giving. They are faithful in attending the church. They are faithful, very faithful in the things of the Lord. But they don't care for their spiritual life. They don't care for their eternal life. And not only the people here all over the world, but also we can see in the Bible. This is John chapter 3. And we're going to discuss verse 1 through verse 16. In this verses 16, we're going to see a very religious man, a very religious person who thought himself smart, who trained people, who picked up the sins of his people, and who led his people, but lost. And this man is now in verse 1. Now there was a man of Pharisees named Nicodemus. Nicodemus, a man and his quest. Okay. Nicodemus, the meaning is victor over people. Victor over people. So, according to his name, he was living up to his name. He was a very smart man. He knew the Old Testament teaching. He could practice fasting. He might have been given 1/10 on a regular basis. But this man, when he came to himself with the Lord Jesus Christ, he knew that he lacked something. Okay. Nicodemus, he was alive when the city of Jerusalem was destroyed. Back in AD 70, he was still alive. He might have been so young to have been, okay, a member of Sanhedrin during Jesus' ministry. The Sanhedrin is something we can say that it is religious judgment, religious court. There were about 71 members in Sanhedrin, but they had to be very carefully examined. They have to understand what the Bible says and what the Old Testament says, what the law says. Everything, they have to be very careful. And in this Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, okay, the scribe, and these people, 71 make up Sanhedrin. And the Jews gave respect very much to these people. But this man, he heard what the Lord Jesus Christ had done, what the Lord Jesus Christ was preaching about the kingdom of God, about heaven. Since he was a supreme judge, one of the supreme judges, with high priest, chief priest, and elders, but he had a quest in his mind. He wanted to know what Jesus Christ had spoken about when he compared to what he talked or what he preached to his people. Very absolutely contrary, absolutely opposite. And then he said, "This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi,'" that is sir, teacher, "'we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him.' Jesus answered him, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.'" He cannot see the kingdom of God. This man, Nicodemus, a well-educated person, he came to Jesus by night. Why didn't he go daytime? There may be some supposition thoughts. He might have been afraid of what his friends would say about going and meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ, because they were fighting what Jesus was teaching about them. They were fighting against Jesus and his disciples were doing. And one of the reasons he went to the Lord Jesus Christ by night may be he wanted to have much time with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was very busy in daytime preaching and healing the sick. And the most important point of Nicodemus is this: that he came. Okay. That he came to Jesus. My brothers and sisters in Christ, we know that Jesus said, cast your burdens unto me. Jesus or God welcome us. God can carry and God can put away all my sins. God can bear my burdens. God can show me the way. We know that. But we never personally go to Him. Jesus or God want to wrestle with us. We have need. We have ups and downs. We have so many problems that we cannot solve. But we are not going to God in prayer. Nicodemus, he knew that he was lacking something. He knew that our teaching and the teaching of Jesus Christ is absolutely different. Then he knew. Then he went. He came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he said, no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with you. Okay. In the mind of Nicodemus, he was thinking about the miracles. Raising the dead, healing the sick. And before this, in chapter 2, Jesus turned water into wine in the land of Canaan at a wedding. They were in lack of wine to serve the guests. And Mary, his mother, report what they need. Then Jesus told them, bring some waters and fill the pots. Then Jesus turned this water, natural water, into wine. And when Jesus turned water into wine, that is what? That was better than what the owner had preserved for many years. You know, when we turn our problems, when we go to the Lord as we are, when Christ turns our problems, when He turns, it becomes much, much better. And the people who drank this new wine, amazed. Okay? Amazed. Why don't you serve first the good one? They don't know what Jesus had done. So many times, we want to carry, we want to fight our problems with our own strength. Let's all put our problems into the hand of God. Let Jesus know our problems. Let give time for Him to work. But Jesus was not interested in discussing the signs which Nicodemus needed to see. Then Jesus went straight and said, because Jesus knew Nicodemus needs these things. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again. Okay. So Jesus knew what Nicodemus needed. Then Jesus straight ahead and say, truly, verily, verily, I say unto you, until and unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So, Jesus emphasized on the kingdom of God. Jesus emphasized on heaven or heavenly things. Jesus wants you to save. Jesus wants to come into your heart. And He wants to change your mind. This morning I was sitting in a Sunday school class. Jeff was teaching. And I listened with his students' discussion. They all said that self is the most difficult things to control. It is true. Ourselves, okay? I am righteous. I've done nothing wrong. I do my best. I went to the church. I go to the church on a regular basis. I'm faithful to my families, to my wife, to my husband. I don't need to get saved. I don't need to surrender my whole being to the Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ emphasized on being born again. He went to the Nicodemus problem straight and said, you must be born again. Now here, which Nicodemus an ask question, Jesus gave the right answer. This is wonderful, okay? This is wonderful. And Jesus knew his problem, okay? The most important point is Jesus knew Nicodemus' problem. Even though he was one of the judges, he need to change his heart. His heart must be changed. Then only he can enter into the heaven of God. You know, St. Augustine said like this, in the heart of man, there is a vacuum. Then nobody can fill it up. That vacuum is created by God where he wants Christ to sit in. So until and unless we have Jesus Christ, even though we have worldly pleasure, even though we have a lot of what people call PhD or what degree, okay? You may be a millionaire. You may be a well-doing person. You may have something lacking in your heart. In your heart. You know, one time I worked with NGO people because the village people did not understand English, so they asked me for their interpreter. Every villages we went, and they had a record. And on Sunday, many people went to their own denominational churches, Catholic, Baptist, Assemblies of God, whoever. And one of the leaders asked me, why did people go to church on Sunday? Why did almost the whole villages went to the church? And I said, it's simple. Because they want to talk with God. They want to pour out their hearts. They want to have fellowship with God. And then he was amazed. How can you talk with God? How can you have fellowship with God? Then I share a little gospel to him. He was a German, a very good thinker. And finally I said, you need this Jesus Christ. Then he went, and we have no time to see him back again. So here, my dear brothers and sisters, what Jesus wanted for Nicodemus is to be born again, to accept Christ as his own personal Savior and Lord. And number two, his question, okay? His question. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born again when he is old? Okay. How can a man be born again when he is old? So his knowledge of theology or his knowledge of religion was very, very shallow. Okay? not suit thee at all. Not suit him. How can a man be born again when he is old? How can I be born again? Is the Savior's this question. And then he said, second time in his mother's womb, he had to go back. Okay. So Nicodemus did not know something that was not humanly possible, which is to be born again. Okay. Let me repeat that again. Nicodemus did not know something that was not humanly possible. Nicodemus didn't know about the work of the Holy Spirit. If spiritual rebirth, like physical birth, rebirth, was impossible from a human standpoint, then where did he live? His self-righteous Pharisees teaching. He was teaching people to have righteous living. But this man, he couldn't understand. He didn't know. Okay, how can a man be born again? It's a big, big question. In Acts chapter 16, verse 30, Philippians jail. Paul and Silas, they were caught, they were put in the prison. Then in the middle of the night, they shout and sing and praise in God. And there was earthquake, shaking the earth. God worked in a miraculous way. And the jailer thought that all the prisoners might have gone, might have ran away. What happened? They didn't run. Paul and Silas, Paul said, don't kill yourself. Don't kill yourself. We were here. Acts 16:30. Then this jailer said, what must I do to be saved? Okay. What must I do to be saved? That question brought him to heaven. And then in Mark chapter 10, verse 24, let's see that. Mark 10:24, there is also a rich young man. Mark 10:24. It comes from verse 17. Let's read 24. And the disciples were amazed at his word. But Jesus said to them again. I'm sorry. Mark 10:24. Yes. And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said to them again, children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. Because when this man heard, okay, in verse 22, he is disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possession. Okay. What Jesus said, he said, I had fulfilled all these things when I was young. But Jesus said, sell away what you have and give it to the poor. That he had had a lot of money. And he was sorrowful, then he ran away. Okay. So Jesus had shown the way. Jesus personally was there. He was so close to the heaven's door. But because of his possession, okay, because of his possession, he didn't sell. You know, one time, Bill Gates, billionaire, he gave out a lot of his money to the poor and to different NGO people. And then he also encouraged the Chinese millionaire or billionaire, The Chinese billionaire said, if we know that we're going to die tomorrow, we're going to give today. The Chinese people, rich in everything. The Chinese, they make a lot of money. But they said, if we are going to die tomorrow, we are going to give today. They don't have concern for the world. They don't have concern for the poor. They only concerned for themselves. They only concern for self. And this man, this young man, he had a great possession. And he ran away. He ran away. So many times, we just to stick on what the world can give to us. So many times we stick on the possessions that the Lord has bestowed unto us, and we say that I earn all these things. I save this much. You know, if God wants us to take it within a few minutes, He can take it away. He can take it away. So what He has blessed us with is from the Lord. And we have to use it for the glory of God. Don't think that give me a lot of money. No. I'm not coming here to beg money. Okay? I'm coming here to encourage you and to praise you what you have done the past 15 years, not only to me, to all the 15 or 16 ministers of God all over the world. So what you have given to the Lord will be your crown when you get into heaven. Amen? We need you and you need us. We'll work together. We'll be faithful. We'll be faithful to the work where God calls us. We'll be faithful unto the Lord. You also have to be faithful to the pastor, to the church, and to God. And we all be faithful and work together for the extension of His kingdom. And this young man, he lost forever. But the young man in Acts 16, he believed what Paul and Silas said. What must I do to be saved? He said, what must I do? But Paul said what? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you and your family will be saved. Okay? If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. And Jesus goes on in John. When Nicodemus heard this, he was amazed. He was amazed. And Jesus said, are you a teacher of Israel, yet do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say unto you, he bear witnesses to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. And Jesus said, if I told you earthly things, you cannot understand. Okay. Then Jesus said, before that, in verse 5, one is born again of water and the Spirit. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. Water and the Spirit. Okay. Theologian has different ideas regarding this, but this morning, I would like to say that water refers to the cleansing. Okay. Water refers to the cleansing. And in the Old Testament, water refers to the renewal of spiritual cleansing. Especially when he used with conjunction with Spirit. Okay? And then the Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will work. The blood of the Lord Jesus will cleanse us. And we don't know when the Spirit is going to work. And here said, the wind blows from where it comes from. Okay? You know, you ask yourself, the day you accept Jesus Christ, you know, there was a time that we could see that Jesus died for me. Okay? Jesus died for me. You know, maybe when you're laying down on your bed and think about what Christ has done, or maybe when you're driving. Even back in Burma, when we share the gospel, people used to accept Christ when they were in the field. They were thinking the message that they heard last night and realized that, oh, I haven't received personally the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, Jesus wants us to accept Him and to come Him by asking personally, okay? You cannot be saved because of your father's faith. I cannot be saved because of my mother's faith. This is very personal matter. This is personal matter. So we share the gospel to... Okay, my brother, my youngest brother, was a drunkard. He used to come home around about 8:30 at night and started to shout, started to blame my wife, started to blame me, started to call my names out. You know, after tiring of job or work, we want to take rest. We want to sit quietly and think about what God had done. But when I heard such a harsh word from my brother, I cannot rest at all. Okay? I cannot take rest. Then I said, Lord, do you hear that person? Lord, do you know that words? Blaming myself? Blaming my wife, who never satisfied? Okay? You know, this is a very personal matter. We share the gospel to him. He didn't like to listen. He didn't like to listen. But I believe one day he will come at least. Okay? There will be a time that he accepts Christ as his own personal Savior and Lord. We don't know when the wind is blowing from east or north, or south, or west. You know, the Holy Spirit is working. This morning when I listening, Jeff talking about awakening, I came to realize that what is revival and what is awakening. He said, the churches need to be awakened. After awakening, we have to pray, we have to seek God as second. Chronicles 7:14 said that we have to humble ourselves and seek the face of the Lord. That is awakening. Then God is going to send revival. Okay. So I ask myself, Lord, I had not been praying for my brothers earnestly, or I had not been praying for my brother longer. So I have to pray for him much longer without fail, okay? So this wing, pneuma, the Holy Spirit, we don't know how he's going to work, when he is going to work. So we have to be very patient when the Lord God is going to work. So Jesus explained about being born again to Nicodemus. And from verse 9, Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered him, are you a teacher of Israel and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say unto you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen. But you do not receive our testimony. Jesus said, if I tell you earthly things, you cannot believe. So here, belief, the word belief, written 7 times in these short verses. 7 times. Belief. Okay? Yes, I believe. You don't have to do nothing. Just to believe it. Simply come to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what it means. So 7 times Jesus used here, which is the key word, okay, to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. To believe wholly what He had done on the cross for you and for me. His blood has cleansed all of our sins, past, present, and even for future. And you have to take it. You don't need to make a lot of philosophical thinking, okay? You know, American people spend on thinking a lot. It is good. But you have to be very careful, okay? If you think so much on what, especially on the Bible, it will lead you to hell. Many times we have to believe, we have to accept it, what it is written. What it is written. If you say 1,000 years, how can be 1,000 years? Okay. 1,000 years, how to calculate? Okay. And we think about, 20 years back, we think about the book of Revelation. How can all these things be happen in the world? You know, the earth will burn and the sun will be so hot that fishes, creatures in the sea will die. You know, think about now. It can be happening soon. Global warming. And nobody cares for lives. Nobody cares for life. Now, Middle East countries, North Korea, trying to have these sort of things. Okay? Nuclear weapon, long-range weapon, shooting. So all this happened within a twinkling of an eye. The world can be burned. Okay. So the world is not safe at all. So what is written in the book of Revelation will really be happening in the future. So we have to believe that, okay? This is the key word. Now, we'll come to his understanding. Verse 9 to 16. We have read some. Verse 13. No one has ascended into heaven except who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. This is the person who had gone to heaven and came back to earth. Who can explain the heavenly thing? And as Moses lived up, here, Jesus was very, very expert in dealing with Nicodemus, because Jesus knew that Nicodemus knew the book of Old Testament. What Moses had done, what Abraham had done. So Jesus was here, Moses. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in Him may have eternal life. Okay. So Jesus drew Nicodemus, whereby he could understand the reason why he came, by looking at the life of Moses, what he had done in the wilderness. It is written in Numbers chapter 21, verses 5 to 9. Then God said, Moses, make a bronze serpent, and whoever look at that will be healed from poisonous snake. Okay? The snake bite. Then, if they were stiff-necked people, some don't want to see that. Some don't believe. You know, it was very simple. Just to look at and be healed. Can it be possible? This was the question. Then some die. But who believe and look up the serpent, which is placing at the top of the pole. They got healed. They did not ask for medication. They did not ask for first aid or whatever. Just to look at that, okay? Then everybody healed. But if someone is stiff-necked and don't want to see that, die, gone. Because he did not believe. Simple act, okay? Very simple act. Then Jesus said, the Son of Man will be lifted up, and whosoever believes in him will have eternal life. You know, back in June 6, 1852, on a stormy night, in the little town of Gloucester in England, a young man entered a little church, primitive Methodist church, and the weather was so bad that the assigned preachers couldn't come that night. Then, just a little young boy was sitting at the back of the church. But uneducated, not well prepared, layman standing up and opened the Bible, Isaiah 45, verse 22. Isaiah 45, verse 22. Isaiah 45. He was reading this. Isaiah 45, verse 22. Let me read. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. Okay. Look unto me and be saved. So he said that, okay, he said like this. He said like this, to looking at Christ, you don't need to have college degree. You don't need to have university degree. Oh, young man, I know that you need to look at that. Look at Christ. Then he was just a layman. He didn't have any more messages to add. He said, oh, young man, look at God. Oh, young man, look at the Lord Jesus Christ. Then this young man looked at the Lord Jesus Christ and he was saved because he had a problem in his home. So many problems. Then he need that. He felt that he had to look at the Lord Jesus Christ. Young man, you look very miserable. Young man, look at Jesus Christ. Okay? Again and again and again and again and pounding his head. This young man looked at the Lord Jesus Christ and became a changed man. And he was Charles H. Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon got saved by the preaching of I'm educated, I'm well prepared, layman by the word of God. Okay. He looked at. Then he was a safe man. Now, regarding Nicodemus and the Lord Jesus Christ, then Jesus said in verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Here the world, this sinful world, cosmos. And he used soul The word sown in very intensity of His love, or the greatness of His love. Okay? God loves us so much that He gave His only begotten Son. He loves us so much that He gave His Son. Okay, for well, people like you in America, life seems to be easy. You know, shame on you. You gained me 7 pounds since I came. It is your responsibility. When I go back, I have to run. It is because of you, okay? Because of you. I'm kidding. No. Here, Jesus used, so loved us. Why God loves me, such a sinful man like me? Okay. John Newton. He was a slave trader. He knew that he was sinful. But, you know, he realized the love of God, amazing grace came out. Okay. So sometimes, okay, the more we know that, the more I'm sinning against God. Sometimes this can bring us more closer to the Lord. It doesn't mean that you have to commit sins again and again. But, you know, think yourself. Check your life. Lord, what I have that you love me so much, okay? That you love me so much. But here, the Bible says, God so loved the world. Okay. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, this is the heart of the gospel. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 5, verse 21. My friend Terry had gone through 2 Corinthians for years. I think I don't need to explain you a lot. I don't know how he could explain. He said several years. How many years you say, sir? 9 years? 7 years. So within 7, if you study in the medical college, after 7 years, you will become a doctor. So, Corinthians. For our sake, he made him to be sin. See? For our sake. Not only for the American people. Not only for the sinners. Not only for the Asian. But for our sake. He made him to be sin who knew no sin. Okay. Who knew no sin? This new in Greek is mean by practical. Okay. By practical who knew no sin. Not in his habit or not in his action. Who knew no sin to be sin for us? So that in him we might became the righteousness of God, imputed righteousness. I am not fit, you are not fit to be called the sons of God. But you like it or not, the moment you believe Christ, that is what? Imputed that you are whiter than the snow up on the Rocky Mountain. Okay, when we look at the Rocky Mountain, white, beautiful, okay? Snows are falling down. White. As soon as you believe Christ, His blood cleanses us from all our weaknesses. What a blessed promise that. First John, okay? So, because it was imputed righteousness, not because of your good work, not because of my, you know, good work, God sees that he or she is white because of the blood of God. Who knew no sin? He redeemed us. So, a man called Nicodemus, he believed finally. He believed finally. Now turn to John 19. John 19, we're about to finish. Please be patient with me, okay? I'm not going to preach this message again in the coming Sunday. Please listen. John 19, verse 38, he became a changed man. After this thing, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took away his body, 19, Nicodemus also. Okay. Nicodemus helped Joseph of Arimathea, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight. Okay. 75 pounds would be a lot of money. So here, the one who defended about Jesus Christ before Sanhedrin, let's turn back to John 7, that one. John chapter 7, verses 50, 51. Nicodemus, who had gone to him before and who was one of them, said to them, "Does our Lord judge a man without first giving him in hearing and learning what he does?" They replied, "Are you from Galilee too? Search and see that no prophet arises from Galilee." Okay. Nicodemus, he thirsts for his soul. He thirsts for his soul. Then after having conversation with the Lord Jesus Christ that night, then he went to him, and he might have dedicated his life wholly to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the best time for him to show his faith, okay, he dare not care for other Sanhedrin people. He dare not care for the Jews who to blame him. Then he stood up of Joseph of Arimathea, and they took the Lord Jesus Christ and gave the gift that he could give. Then they buried the Lord Jesus Christ. He became a changed person. So after receiving Jesus Christ, our perspective of these worldly things, our perspectives absolutely change. We want to give the best to the Lord. We want to give first everything that we do in our lives. So whatever you do first, I don't care for the price. I don't care for how much it is. If you put first God in your life, okay, you will be satisfied. Because your faith is a living faith. Because we put first the living Savior. So my dear ones, before, if you haven't tried Christ, why didn't you try? Before, if you don't give your time for the Lord, just give time, God. Then if you don't give your best to the Lord, give it to the Lord and try. He will satisfy you with a lot of spiritual things that you never dream of. Why don't we try God? Why don't we try Christ in our life? So here, Nicodemus experienced the reality of a new birth in his life. May this new reality of new life be upon you by the help of the Holy Spirit from now on and forever. May God bless you all.